It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Hands off for Capitals, needs to win the faceoff to keep their hopes alive. Sturm wins it. It's cleared out by the Sharks. 13 seconds remaining in the game. Maybe one more rush for Washington. It's not over yet, folks. Here's a long feed by Carlson all the way down, and coming out of the net to grab that and avoid the stoppage of play was the Sharks' Blackwood, and time will expire in the third. What a victory. The San Jose Sharks hang on and earn a 2-1 win at home against Washington, who drops their second game in a row. Everybody out to congratulate Mackenzie Blackwood as he made 33 saves to get the win. And this one's got to feel good because it wasn't a Picasso. They got it done, though, and now they can go on the road with a two-game winning streak to Boston on Thursday.
Well, I think we're playing better as a group. And, you know, I've touched on this, and I think some of our players have. You know, it takes time. And we all know, you know, early on, we weren't getting the results we had. Our, you know, the injuries certainly played a role without Cooch and Granny, and our schedule was brutal. I've never said that really much, but it is what it is. And, you know, we were in a tough spot. A lot of things that could have gone wrong did. And, you know, now we're 500 since that, you know, since then, and playing much better hockey.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Look at the San Jose Sharks pulling up and out of a tailspin that defined their team after the 4th of November. Now we are 24 days later, just a little bit over 3 weeks' time. A win against Philly, a win against Edmonton, a loss against Vegas, a loss against Anaheim, a loss against Florida, a win against St. Louis, a loss against Vancouver, a loss against St. Louis, then a shootout loss against Montreal, a win against Vancouver, and a win against the Capitals. That means they have posted a record of 5-5-1. That is a stark contrast to what we saw at the start of the season when their schedule, like we heard David Quinn acknowledging when we came in, was particularly brutal. I don't think there's any other way to get around that. But, you know, the difference now is that you're just watching guys play that much better individually and collectively. I remember when I was trying to make sense of those two games when the Sharks gave up 10 goals, I was looking back at the roster that the Sharks fielded on the COVID game on October 30th, 2021, when they missed a bunch of guys. They had six guys that day out of the lineup with COVID. They had to call up a bunch of guys from the Barracuda, and you just saw a great gritty effort that allowed them to get a win against Winnipeg, their second win against Winnipeg early in that season. And I was looking at that roster versus what the Sharks have on the ice, you know, in those two games against Pittsburgh. And I was like, boy, there's a lot of guys on this October 30th roster 2021 that are not in the NHL right now. And I was trying to think which of these rosters is on paper better. And yes, you know, that team against Winnipeg did have, you know, Brent Burns and Timo Meier out there on the ice. But overall, I was just thinking to myself, you know, this roster that the Sharks put out there against Pittsburgh and Vancouver at the beginning of the month was better. And that was what I was trying to wrap my head around. And, you know, now you've got a Ryan Carpenter up from the Barracuda. And obviously Ryan Carpenter is an NHL veteran, but he's making an impact for the Sharks. You've got Justin Bailey, who does have NHL experience before. He's been a pro for almost a decade, but he made a difference last night for the Sharks. He made a great play to set up Luke Cunnan. And, you know, that's the type of thing that where if you get the call up, you've got to be ready to contribute. And so Bailey did that. He was there. He was ready, and he was able to make the most of it for the San Jose Sharks. So just impressive, you know, to watch these guys come up and have this impact, because that wasn't happening before. And now, you know, you're watching everybody come together. An absence of Jan Ruda and Filip Zadina and Alexander Barabanov, a Logan Couture, a Tomáš Hertl, I mean, these injuries add up. This is not the roster that the Sharks were putting down on paper when they were at the start of the year, but this is what it takes. You have to get guys contributing. You have to get guys able to come up from the AHL and be able to make an impact. You've got to be able to, you know, put out there as good and competitive a team as possible, but it's beyond that, right? Like, you've got to get them to perform above the level that they were previously, you know, able to get earlier in this year. I mean, again, the schedule was brutal, but guys were not playing to their level. And you watch Fabian Zetterlund dominate that game last night. You know, the puck finds these guys' sticks for a reason, and I think that's because they go out there and make that reason happen. Fabian Zetterlund flying up and down the ice. You had Mikael Granlund charging up the ice once again, trying to do it all on his own and putting questions on that defense and the netminder of Washington. Like, that is the type of thing that we were not seeing previously. The confidence that the Sharks are playing with, the swagger that they now have as part of their game that simply wasn't there before, it is phenomenal to watch. And just to watch the team also get success, have the hard work earn them just that much more. And I look at the two overtime losses this year, one against Montreal and one against Colorado. That's another, you know, couple points and couple wins they could have on their docket. So, you know, the Sharks are an improving team. And I don't know when all is said and done what this team's record will be, what the amount of points they will have on the table will be. I just know that they are playing considerably better hockey. And my overall goal for where the Sharks need to be when this year is said and done is it needs to be pointed in the right direction. I know that, you know, playoffs were always a best case scenario or worst case scenario, depending on who you ask. But I would just wanted to see things pointed in the right direction. And I feel like right now they are. And a big part of that is Mackenzie Blackwood. I mean, Mackenzie Blackwood, the save he made in the first period where there was an empty net and he somehow reached back and blocked it with his pad and then also curled it under his pad to keep it from going over the line. Even though a goal that he did give up, it was a weird re-deflected play where he was, you know, in the right place, but the puck just took a weird deflection. I mean, he is playing phenomenally. And the Sharks are doing good things on defense. And, you know, everyone looking at that game said, oh, you know, Washington's been here since Friday. They're well-rested. They're ready. The Sharks, you know, they played Friday. They played Saturday. They're back at it again on Monday. It's 3 games in 4 days, and they're going to be tired. And it didn't matter. I mean, they were just right there, ready and raring to go. And it was not the, you know, paciest game, but it was physical. And the Sharks, I think, for a good part of that game, did meet that physicality and put some big hits on there. You saw Burrows going around just throwing his body about. That was great. I love it. It fires up the crowd. It fires up its teammates. You know, you see the guys getting into it, getting engaged, not being pushed around, fighting back against a Washington team that's got some big bodies on it. They know how to play physical hockey. It's just, it's fun. And we weren't getting a lot of fun hockey earlier this year, so to watch the Sharks play in that way just made it that much more enjoyable and just made it that much more alive at the tank. And, you know, the vibes that I've gotten from more than a few games this year have given me, you know, 90s Sharks vibes, because for so long, the expectation for the Sharks was they were going to be, you know, a contender in day one and a contender when the season came to an end. And, you know, that's pretty much what we got. I mean, that was always the Sharks. It was not, you know, this type of a gritty type team. It was, you know, and a lot of high-end talent, and they got gritty victories, don't get me wrong, but things came a lot easier to the Sharks, you know, a generation ago, and now you're watching this team find themselves, you're watching them work hard for wins. You got a great group of guys. I think everybody is, you know, completely bought in. A close-knit dressing room. We never saw things devolve. We never saw arguments. We never saw, you know, anything really looked like there was a fracturing inside the team, and I think that's important, because when you do go through losses like, you know, the games against Vancouver and Pittsburgh, and then, you know, one like Seattle, it's easy to see that snowball and turn into something worse. But, you know, when the Sharks had those two bad losses, yeah, the response wasn't immediate, but they came back, and they've ever since have been playing much better hockey. And it's one of the things that makes the loss to Seattle last week that much more aberrant, because you had a competitive loss against Florida, your best win of the year, in my opinion, against St. Louis. You get a weekend off, you play a really good game against Vancouver, in which they gave up that late second period goal, the shorty with 0.7 seconds left that really changed momentum in the game. And things at that point, though, were looking really good. I mean, the loss against Anaheim, you're saying, okay, it's 2-1 entering the third on the road. you know, a couple of bang-bang goals, one off the power play, and I believe another one that just kind of floated out of the vision of Mackenzie Blackwood. And then in that game against Florida, you're right there with it, and then you bounce back and you get a good win against St. Louis. And again, the competitive loss in Vancouver. And then suddenly it was that loss to Seattle where you had a lot of what the Sharks did in those first two games this month kind of creep back in. But since that point, you know, we all saw David Quinn very, very angry after that game. And David Quinn had not shown that type of anger all year long. Even in the two games that they had where they gave up a 10 spot, he didn't have that type of a reaction. In that game, he had a reaction. He was ticked off. He let the media know. He knew the guys were going to find out about it. He knew they were going to hear about it. And the response since then has been very, very, very good in their first three-game point streak of the season. Yeah, you would have liked to have gotten that win against Montreal, and you had a 2-0 lead, and they came fighting back. But that's the NHL. That's how it's going to go sometimes. But they were still able to get a point out of that game. Then they had an impressive victory against Vancouver, which you look at the three games in that series this year. You had a 10-1 loss, a 3-1 loss, and then a 4-3 win. So each time you got, you know, tangibly better. And then when you're in Washington earlier this year, you lose by a final of 3-1 in what was a fairly competitive game. And it was one of the better games on that road trip. It was the last one. You know, that was coming off of two shutout victories against Tampa and Carolina and a competitive loss before that against Florida. Then you had the Capitals. You had that 3-1 loss, which preceded the two bad games against both Vancouver and the Pens. But, you know, the point is the schedule was brutal. That has to be acknowledged. Beyond that, you have to look at the fact that the team was new. There was a lot of incoming talent. There were a lot of guys that didn't know each other. There were a lot of guys who had to find themselves and find their teammates and figure out what exactly they were going to be. But you know, that's what it takes. You know, you have to be able to figure out your teammates. You have to be able to put yourself in a position to win. You have to figure out how you're going to be better, and the Sharks have figured out how to be better, like I've said. And now 5-5-1 in their last 11, which is considerably better, however you want to look at it. That is just considerably better than what the Sharks were, like I said, 3.5 weeks ago. We look at where they are in the standings, and they are tied in points with Chicago. And yes, you might say that, well, Chicago got Connor Bedard, and so their future is all that really matters. But I'll point to a team like Edmonton and say, hey, they only have 3 more points than the Sharks right now. They have Connor McDavid, and they have still not been able to win a Stanley Cup. And I'm not saying that is Connor McDavid's fault or that you shouldn't try and get the best possible players that you can. However, I do point to the way the Sharks are coming together as a team, and I look at where teams like Tampa and Colorado were before they had their runs towards greatness, and I look at what they still are right now. I mean, Tampa right now is trying to extend it, and I give them a lot of credit. And, you know, the Colorado Avalanche, they're still right there in the midst of their window. You know, these are the realities of how tough life is in the NHL. And even the Anaheim Ducks, who had their, you know, kind of quick start, they're 2-8-0 in their last 10, and they're on a 6-game losing streak. Sharks are reeling them in as well, and it annoyed me. I won't say that it quote-unquote angered me, but it annoyed me that at the start of the year, everybody was saying, oh, you know, this Sharks team is the worst ever. This is, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you can't make claims like that until a season is over and done with. And if the season is over and done with, that is the case. The Sharks have the, you know, the worst record, then we'll talk about it. That's a discussion that's to be had. But when you're making claims about who is going to be the best and or worst ever, you can't say that until the season's done with. You can't say that until all is said and done. And that's what bothered me about what people were saying were the Sharks, because there was this confirmation bias that was going on in the midst of the Sharks' brutal start to the season, which I think had more to do with the schedule than anything else. And still, they've been able to push their way through and look at where they are now. They don't have Jan Rutta out there on the ice. They don't have Filip Zadina. They don't have Alexander Barabanov. They didn't have Tomáš Hertl last night. They haven't had Logan Couture. Those are all considerable absences. You know, Barabanov's been out for a while. Logan Couture hasn't played at all this season. And so to see the Sharks growing in light of those absences, these are the things, in my opinion, that are going to help them in the future. These are the things that are going to make them a better team, are going to make them a better contender when they do get into that phase of this rebuild. And yes, I know we don't like to use that word around here, but we also have to be honest about where the Sharks are and where they have been and where they are going. They also have a lot of cap space this summer. And so I think we will watch them make investments sooner rather than later towards the future. Now, that doesn't mean that that's going to be this summer, but that the point is they do have cap space coming. They do have the ability to start improving themselves. They do have the ability to start situating for a future that I hope will come faster than many are assuming. A lot of people are talking about extended timelines of when the Sharks are not going to be. Well, people are just saying the Sharks aren't going to be bad forever or something like that, or putting 5 and 10 year marks. It's like, no, guys, it doesn't take that long. It takes a little bit of time. The Sharks have been actively doing this for a while, and hopefully they will be situating themselves to where they can get back at it sooner rather than later. And I think the players that Mike Grier has brought in, like last year, nobody really was that big on Fabian Zetterlund after that acquisition, but the way he's been playing lately, yeah, he looks exactly like somebody you'd want to trade for. You know, that's the way this is supposed to work. You don't always see immediate results from a trade. Sometimes it does take a little time, but now the Sharks are at a point where they are starting to see the dividends from those trades pay off. And then you look at a younger guy like Shakir Makhmudulin, and he is going to be paying off. You know, I've talked to Nick Nolenberger on this show, and he did a great job on NBC's pre and post last night, but, you know, he is going to be a big part of the Sharks' future. Thomas Bordalo, still improving. He's part of the future. William Eklund keeps on getting better and better. You watch the impact that Cunning and Benning make on every game. I mean, this is still a team that is learning themselves and in that process of getting better. And don't get me wrong, by no means does that mean that the rest of this year is going to be a cakewalk and we're going to watch the Sharks emerge as darlings of the NHL. No, it's going to be tough. There are going to be more than a few more difficult moments throughout this season. There aren't going to be a whole lot of wins. But you're watching, I think, the foundational pieces. You're watching blueprints. You're watching the design. You're seeing aspects of what will later come to be the hallmarks of this team be visible out there on the ice. And so while there have not been very many wins up to this point, the stark improvement compared to where the Sharks were just a few short weeks ago is more than enough to make me happy. All right, on the other side, we're going to hear from David Quinn. Plus, I got a chance to talk with Justin Bailey and Luke Cunningham after last night's win. We'll get to that on the other side. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Duclair with it. Holding it, left corner, feeds behind the net. Too hard for Cunning to make the play. Emberson rushes in from the point, chip it to the corner. Here's Cunning grinding it out at the near side along with Zetterlund. They fight for control, make that, pardon me, Bailey. Bailey back now in front, Cunning shoots, star! Luke Cunning on a brilliant pass from Justin Bailey. Those two guys won the puck back in the corner, and it's a power play goal for Luke Cunning to put the Sharks in front 2-1 at 12:48 of the third.
All right, welcome back, everyone. That is the Hall of Famer Dan Ruzanowski bringing us back in on a Tuesday morning as we look back at the Sharks' win against Washington last night at the Tank. The Sharks continue to put forth good performances, and they're winning at home. Let's see now if they can take that out onto the road. The clip you heard obviously coming in was the game winner last night. I talked with both of the men involved on that play. Let's start out with Luke Cunning.
All right, we've got Luke Cunning after the Sharks' second consecutive home win. And, you know, really since we go back to those games that we do not speak of, you guys have been playing some really good hockey, and I believe it's now in the last 7 home games, 5-1-1. And, you know, it's just a complete change of pace. A, did you ever doubt that the team would get here? And then B, what's the big change?
I think the big change is we're playing you know, to the identity that's going to give us the best chance to win hockey games, I think. You know, you can kind of see that over the last few games. I don't think tonight was necessarily our best by any means, but still finding ways to win. You know, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So I think, yeah, we all believe that, you know, we could get out of this thing. You know, we're just one day at a time, a game at a time, and just trying to keep putting, you know, wins together and string, you know, good hockey games along. And that's been, you know, the focus within the group, and still a long ways to go, but definitely on the right track now.
This was a very physical game. Were you anticipating it would be like that, or does it just kind of develop organically during the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, they got some physical big guys over there, obviously, and, you know, I think we need to play that way as well for us to have success, and sometimes that just happens.
Is it fun?
Yeah, I mean, I love that part of the game, obviously, so it's definitely good when it's competitive like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing for those of us that are just watching from above. It's like when the big hits happen. I know there was one after Burroughs hit somebody pretty hard. It seemed like fired all you guys up. Like, I got to imagine, like, that's, it's good to see, like, that invigoration, see everybody reacting to that.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely, you know, gets the crowd into it, gets the bench into it, and, you know, hopefully gets a good momentum swing for the guys.
Now, your goal, man, it seemed like you saw that in the back of the net before it even came to your stick, because there was zero hesitation. Talk me through that. What did you see?
Yeah, it was a great play by Bales, winning, you know, first off winning the battle there. That doesn't start without him. Good poise by him, kind of feathering that one through, and you know, kind of knowing where you are in that spot where you want to shoot it, and, you know, luckily it went in.
So you were thinking go up top the entire way?
Yeah, I usually shoot it whenever I have it in there, so that was kind of the thought process.
Yeah, it was, you know, a tight game, never got more than a one goal advantage for you guys. How do you balance the not wanting to make the mistake, but also playing tight enough without losing any hesitation and keeping aggression? Because that's like when you get in these really tight games, I think that's the hard thing to do, is like you don't want to make that mistake, but you want to keep on pushing.
Yeah, I think that comes with the preparation and, you know, how we practice and how, you know, you just go about your everyday business, just being confident, trusting, you know, that everyone out there is going to do their job, and just going out and doing it.
Yeah. What did you think of McKenzie tonight once again? He was...
Yeah, I mean, every night, both those guys play great, keep us in the game, and they're doing their job for sure.
Do you go back and watch the film and think, like, yeah, that was a pretty good save? Like, because I'm sure, you know, you always don't get to see the replay when you're playing, but you probably go back and watch the film, and you're like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they always, you know, make some huge ones, keep us in games, and, you know, they've been doing that all year.
Since those guys that you work with, Capo and McKenzie, have such elite shot-stopping ability, is that, you feel like it's making you better to practice against them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's always fun scoring on them in practice and stuff, but you get the battles, you know, you're just happy when they're making those saves against the other team.
Yeah, and then now you guys go out on a long road trip. I guess, you know, how do you take this momentum with you, and then, you know, what's been the difference at home as well that you can try and parlay into the road play that hasn't been there up to this point?
Yeah, I think, you know, we can't really change anything, just keep that you know, one day at a time, not look too far ahead, and just come tomorrow ready to work, get better, and, you know, just get ready for Boston.
Nice. And then just, you know, looking at the growth that's seen overall, like, does the room seem lighter? Like, I never thought you guys were, you know, having any sort of stressful moments. You guys always looked like a tight group, good, you know, smiling guys at practice. Like, does it feel like much has changed in that regard, or has it just stayed pretty, you know, pretty close-knit group the entire way?
Yeah, it's definitely been close. I think everything gets easier. Everyone's a little more happy. Everyone's smiling a little more when you're winning hockey games, and, you know, it's definitely a better feeling, so want to keep that going.
Right on, Luke. Well, congratulations on the game winner and the win in general, and keep it rolling on the road, all right?
Thanks a lot.
Again, that was Luke Cunning, and I also spoke with Justin Bailey.
All right, well, we've got the San Jose Sharks' Justin Bailey with us after their impressive hold-on win against Washington. Busy couple of days for you, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, it's definitely nice being in the same city, so there's not too much travel involved, but, you know, I've been making sure to just take it day by day and, you know, kind of let my play down there dictate kind of what happens next.
Yeah, no, I got to be at a couple of the games recently that you were making some good plays at. And just, you know, tell me about your game just kind of trending in the right direction. Like, obviously, you know, every year is different, but how did you feel about where you were at training camp versus where you are now?
Yeah, for me, you know, the two previous years before this one, I had, you know, a couple shoulder surgeries. So, hadn't done a training camp in 2 years. So, for me, having a full summer to train, having a full training camp, having a full preseason really makes a difference. And, you know, I was able to come in to start the year and feel like myself again. That was kind of the main thing last year. I kind of came back in December and kind of, you know, I was able to put together an okay year in Bakersfield, but didn't feel like myself. And that's kind of one thing that I definitely feel like, you know, this year.
And then just being able to get that training camp in and know these guys before, you know, you came into tonight's game. How did that, you know, feel for you? Did you feel like you had a good idea of where guys were going to be, how the game was going to play out in terms of what your assignments and responsibilities were going to be?
Yeah, I felt good in preseason. You know, for me, controlling the things I can control. So that's my speed and my size, my effort. So I feel like when, you know, my legs are moving and I'm playing with pace, you know, the ice seems to open up a little bit for me. And I felt that in preseason. I felt that to start the year. And, you know, it translated a bit tonight.
This game was physical. A lot of big hits in it throughout the game. Were you expecting that, or did that just kind of – was that just the way the game developed?
I think anytime, you know, you play against, like, Tom Wilson or Edmondson on the other team, you know. But we, you know, we also got Burr. We got guys that I can bang too. So I think we matched that physicality well and didn't let them push us around, and it showed as the game went on.
When you did see Burrows lay some of those big hits that he did, were that kind of fire you up?
Yeah, I mean, I played with Burr in Vancouver, so, and I played against him in the minors when he was in Bridgeport. So I know how hard-nosed of a defenseman he is, and you know, big hits like that really give you momentum, and you know, he plays a tough game, and it's fun to watch.
A game like this, obviously, it's, you know, a one goal game pretty much for the entirety of it. Obviously, that you guys take the early, they come back, you're able to add up another one on it. Like, do you feel like the game is tight? Like, does that tighten you guys up as a team? Because you feel like we can't make mistakes, but you also don't want to play hesitation game as well. Like, you want to be able to be fluid and keep on being aggressive.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously that's a team that has got a lot of guys who won, a lot of really good players that know how to score a goal. So, you know, any night you limit them to one, you know, you look at the goaltending, you look at structurally how we played. And obviously, you know, coach said it, you know, it wasn't our best effort, I guess, for the first two periods. But, you know, especially in this league, finding a way to win is tough to do, especially against a team like that.
Yeah, most definitely. And then, you know, now you guys have a tough road trip ahead of you. You know, how do you take this momentum from these couple of home wins and keep it going out onto the road?
Yeah, I think, you know, you just remember the feeling. Obviously, you know, we feel good as a team in here right now. Going on the road's never easy, but you know, looking at the road trip, New York, Vegas, those are games that are easy to get up for. So. Yeah. You know, hopefully we can take the momentum from, you know, they'll take the momentum from the homestand, but I'll take the momentum from tonight, and we'll translate to the road.
You've obviously got in a relationship with Burrows in the past, but how many of these other guys do you not know super well, and maybe you'll know them a little bit better after the road trip?
Honestly, having the both teams in the same city, you know, it is a pretty tight knit group. I've known Dukes for a while. I've known Giovanni for a while. You know, there's a lot of guys in here that you know, this is my ninth year pro, so you come across guys, and but having it in the same city, minor league and NHL teams, you know, we do a decent amount of hanging out. So as far as chemistry and stuff like that, I felt like I was at home here.
Nice. Well, Mr. Bailey, thank you very much for your time. Congrats on the win. I'll bug you again soon. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Bailey in particular, I really liked his game. Fast too, man. Like, that's another thing that's been popping with the Sharks. Fabian Zetterlin showing speed that I didn't really know was there previously. Justin Bailey, you know, he looked faster in this game than what I'd been seeing from him with the CUDA. And I was in person for two CUDA game 2 weeks ago. And then also, you know, just watching more on AHL TV. But Bailey looked fast in that game, man. Like, there were times where the Sharks looked like they were buzzing around a bit. So that's something that we're beginning to see a little bit more with this team. Guys getting more comfortable. And I think it goes to that whole idea that guys are trusting themselves a little bit more. But, you know, just an impressive victory from the San Jose Sharks. Here is David Quinn on Justin Bailey.
Well, just kind of what we saw in training camp. You know, as I mentioned this morning, I mean, he's a big kid. He's our biggest forward, and he can skate. And as you can see, he's got a little bit of touch, too. That was a great pass he made to Cunningham on the winning goal. And, you know, he plays an honest game.
And then you look at the play of Mackenzie Blackwood last night, probably a little bit overshadowed by Fabian Zetterlin continuing to be an impact player for the Sharks, and then Luke Cunningham getting the dramatic power play game winner. But again, Mackenzie Blackwood was absolutely phenomenal last night, just as he has been all year for San Jose. And like I alluded to earlier, the one goal that he did let in, that was not on him in the slightest. It was a puck that took a weird bounce. And he was everything that the Sharks needed him to be in that game as they look to carry some of that momentum back out onto the road. But 33 saves, a .971 save percentage. I got no problem with that. David Quinn.
He made some big saves, boy, and that's what you need at this level. You go look at the top goaltending in the league, and you're going to see the top teams in the league. This game, an old coach of mine said they should call it goalie. You know, it's an incredibly important position. You forget an awful lot of the saves the guy's making in the first and the second period. You go back as a coach and you watch the film. You're like, if that one went in, this game takes a whole different turn. So he's been outstanding. You know, he's been an elite goalie in this in for us this season.
And now the Sharks go out on to the road. They are going to be facing Boston on Thursday, and I will be on NBC pre and post with you for that game, as well as the games on Friday and Sunday as they take on New Jersey and then the Rangers. Then on Tuesday, they're going to be taking on the Islanders. On the 7th, it's Detroit. The 10th, they are in Vegas, and they're back home on the 12th for one game as they do see Winnipeg before they go to Arizona and then Colorado. And then finally, we get the Kings on the 19th of December. So I'm looking forward to that one as well. All right, we're out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.